Well, thank you everybody for joining us. And I'm so excited to be doing another episode of the Climate Action Homes podcast. And we are here with Chad Bergman. We're going to be talking about everything that you need to know from a lender's standpoint, like how do you get the money side figured out when you are getting ready to buy a home in 2022. So hi, Chad.
Hi, Joan. Good to see you.
Yeah, really nice to see you too. All right. So the way this works is during this first part, we will be recording our podcast for the first half hour. So if you're joining us in our Zoom room, then you can send any questions that you have by chat, and we will we'll be answering those as we can. And then for the next half hour, we'll just have our networking and discussion. So if you're interested in joining us, then you can register on Eventbrite under Climate Action Homes, or go to climateactionhomes.com or our Facebook to find that link. All right. So I'm so excited about this because as a fairly new real estate agent with Your Castle Realty, I was very excited to learn early on this idea that I was asking one of the lenders, okay, if somebody wants to buy a home, when should they talk to a lender? And the answer was as soon as possible, as soon as you think of it. And so it's really neat to know that you can establish relationships with lenders and have somebody to ask these questions. You don't need to know all the stuff about down payments and interest rates and different types of loans. You just call somebody and ask them. So these are some of the topics we're going to hit on today. Chad is here. He is with Movement Mortgage. And I don't know what I just did with your bio. So I will let you introduce yourself, Chad. A quick intro and tell us, how did you get into this area of residential, of home mortgages?
Yeah, well, thank you, Joan. So believe it or not, I've been doing mortgages for about 23 years. I got into it shortly after college. I was a finance and economics major, and real estate just seemed really cool. It seemed different every day. I was good at the numbers piece of it. And so I had a passion for just learning it. That was also during the time of the Y2K. A lot of the internet lending was going on. And that's kind of how I got my start, is through an online mortgage company. I actually, in my first decade of working mortgages, I also dualed up as a realtor. So I actually did real estate on the side for about five of those years. So from about 2002 to 2007, I was also a licensed realtor and learned a ton. But what I also learned was that it is hard to be an expert at both mortgage and real estate. So I did pick what I thought was a better fit for me. And mortgages just is, again, a great choice for what I do. But I truly appreciate the realtor piece of it. Having a advocate is 100% necessary in today's market, because, again, you are going at opposite directions. You, as a buyer, you're trying to get the best price, the best terms. And as a seller, you're trying to get the opposite best price and best terms. So you definitely need a good negotiator, someone, again, who's going to lead you through that process. I've been, again, with a couple different companies over the years. Movement Mortgage, by far, is the best company that I've been with, mostly because, again, of how we approach the whole process. A lot of it is efficient, timely. We, again, are a direct mortgage banker. So we lend directly from Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie. We have all product types, and again, we don't have overlays. We again go straight to the source, and what I love about it is that we're quick to respond. So everyone on my team is local to Denver, and we are, again, a national company, and just, again, super in this market, especially where we have to be reactive, that's super important.
Well, that's pretty neat that you have that background as a real estate person. So you know the hecticness of it and trying to get an offer in and needing to get an updated lender letter and all that. So that's great. So you have that sensitivity to all of
yes.
that. So Chad, what do you think are some of the main things that people should know? I mean, there's so many things that are moving so fast in the Metro Denver area in particular, but this probably applies to most people.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, the low inventory and rising, the rising interest rates and things like having to do appraisal gaps and appraisal waivers, where do you want to start to let people know, mm-hmm. you know, kind of the realities, not an overly rosy picture, but mm-hmm. what are you seeing that is working now and that people really need to know for buying a home in 2022?
Yeah. Well, again, we are in probably the most difficult buyer's market for a buyer. So again, we are in a seller's market. There's a number of reasons why we are in a seller's market. COVID is still playing itself out as far as just again, people's ability to move where they want to. Metro Denver, especially, is very hot. Low inventory is probably the number one reason why we're seeing a seller's market. Builders just haven't ramped up. Builders haven't kept up with, the expectation of new homes over the years. It takes a long time for a builder to obtain property, get permits, and then obviously break ground. It takes a long, long time. So that inventory, low interest rates for the last 2 years. And again, just a lot of some speculation in the market too. We, as you pointed out, Joan, we have higher interest rates. Our interest rates have definitely taken a jump in the last couple months. And again, that's something I wanted to talk about. You know, rates are going to do what rates are going to do. You cannot time a home purchase around interest rates. You can time it around a refinance. So that's something to circle back with. You know, when you pull the trigger, you get into that house, again, working with a good loan professional, they can work with you on trying to time a dip and get you a better interest rate later on. But on a purchase, you just need to go with the right house and when you get it. Again, the market dictates where rates are. You can actually Google 10-year treasury yield, and you can actually see the curve of where the rates are. And we're basically touching a 2-year high as far as mortgage rates. Again, it's not a bad rate. I talked to my parents about their rates in the 12 and 13% range. So a rate in the low fours is still a great rate. We just don't have something in the high twos that we saw maybe a year ago. We have other.
So I think on those interest rates, I think if you're looking like at the 50-year timeline, mm-hmm. I think we're still in that historically low time or rate range. But right. Compared to what it was, several months ago, or I don't know when exactly the low point was, but this 2-year period is still in that historically low range.
We are, yeah. I mean, again, if we think about what life was like before COVID, we're at those rates. You know, life was fine, the market was fine. We were in the low fours before COVID hit, January, February. 2000. And, we now have different dynamic with inventory and home prices, but rates have basically come back to where they were. And we're all, where we expect them to come out this year is we do expect the Fed to raise rates 4 to 5 times this year. That can lead to some higher rates, obviously. But just keep in mind that a Fed funds rate increase does not mean an equal mortgage 30-year fixed increase. There's different things at play. It's not apples for apples when it comes to a Fed funds rate. And honestly, we've seen a lot of the jump in rates already priced in. So I'm going to be a predictor here, but I'm actually going to say when the Fed actually does raise rates for the first time here in March, We may actually see the rates pull back a little bit, especially with what's going on in Ukraine. Again, we could actually see a little bit of a relief. I know it's counterintuitive, but again, 22 years of experience shows me that when we actually get a rate increase, we sometimes see rates trend off just a little bit. But again, it kind of depends on what that future comment is going to be.
Okay, so they're right. Okay. So I think what you're saying is don't freak out about rates. If you want to buy a house, then you can't control the interest rate. And if you've been renting and you want to get out of renting and get into a home, then go ahead and do it. Okay. Yeah. So how about some of the other questions? I mean, I think a common one is people thinking that they can't get into a house because of the down payment. And it seems like there's a lot of confusion around what kind of down payment is even reasonable. Sure. For somebody to find, or if they don't have a down payment, what are you seeing? What are ways to kind of speed that up instead of thinking that you have to save up this big number, which if it's a percent and the housing prices are going up and up, you might feel you never are going to be able to save enough for a down payment. So what are you seeing there?
Right. So, I mean, you're right on, Joan. I mean, a lot of people can afford the monthly payment. We wouldn't issue a pre-approval letter otherwise. But the down payment is the number one reason why most home buyers are, I guess, not pulling the trigger. So different loan programs require different down payments. VA is a wonderful loan program that requires no down payment. You have conventional, which typically requires 3 to 5%, depending on a couple of variables. And then FHA is also a common first-time homebuyer program. FHA, by the way, doesn't stand for first-time homebuyer, it's Federal Housing Administration. And that's a 3.5% down payment. But to even help out with a conventional and FHA loan, there are down payment assistance programs. The most common for Colorado is CHAFA. So you can go to chfa.info, I believe it is. And CHAFA is a wonderful organization that, again, helps first-time homebuyers. You do have to go through homebuyer education. So if you want to get into just the education piece of it, sign up for the homebuyer education. But definitely talk to a lender to kind of walk you through the CHAFA program because it is different. They offer a grant program, which is free down payment assistance. And then they offer a second mortgage program for a little bit more assistance. And there's pros and cons to both. But again, nothing to get into too much detail, but definitely talk to an advised mortgage loan originator and they can walk through that.
Okay, so that's good to know. So, 3.5% or maybe less.
Yeah.
So VA, for example. And then there is the CHAFA, which is income. Is that right? That's income restricted.
Correct. Yeah, any down payment assistance program is going to be income based. It doesn't necessarily have to be first time homebuyer based. You can actually be a subsequent homebuyer with some down payment assistance program. Okay. But all down payment assistance is going to be income-based qualification.
Okay, so what is out there? What would you recommend then for someone who maybe they don't fit into the income restricted, but they don't really have that down payment and they feel like they're just putting all their money to rent and they're like, we're never going to be able to get out of this. What are some creative things that you're seeing people do?
So honestly, to get that down payment money, we can't go to a credit card and borrow that money. We can't do unsecured loans like that for down payment, but we can do secured loans. I often have clients who maybe take a loan against their retirement account, and that could be their down payment. I've even had a client who had a car that was paid off, and we did a cash out loan on the car, and we're able to get the down payment because that was also a secured loan. We do have quite a few folks that actually do turn to family for gifts. So those gifts, again, beneficial, and we could combine gifts, and there's no problem there. So there's multiple ways, and I think we just need to talk through everyone's story. Everyone's situation is different, but there's ways to obtain that down payment usually when we dig into it.
Okay. So I'm just kind of doing a little recap here. So if you are a vet, then you could maybe do a VA loan if yes. You're a veteran.
Yeah.
And that would have no down payment. You do have a funding fee, which is built in there. If you're doing one of these other loans, 3.5%. And if you're low income, then you could go for the CHAFA, one of the down payment assistance programs. And if you're above that, or you don't want to go through that process, then perhaps taking a loan against your 401k or something that you already have, or just going to friends and family and saying, hey, you love us.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Surprisingly. Share to love is definitely a conversation. So, you hit it right there, Joan. I think again, all those options are available. And, what we haven't talked about are closing costs too, because closing costs are part of the mortgage transaction. Closing costs, range from loan type, and they also vary based on the property you type of buy too. Single family closing costs are going to be a little bit different than, say, a condo or a townhome. But in general, I would say closing costs are going to be probably between $5,000 to $7,000 for most loan programs, most borrowers, most properties. So again, working with a good loan advisor, you should be able to get even a worksheet. I work up preliminary numbers for clients all the time. It's a great tool, kind of just give people the breakdown of what to expect. And honestly, a lot of these closing costs are third party, meaning I don't control them. Your realtor doesn't control them. They're just part of the overall fees that you have to go through. Anything from homeowners insurance, appraisal, escrow fees. There's a lot of, it's a big breakdown, but again, it's not just, we call it third party because it's just, it's going to be the same pretty much for everyone.
Okay. So you're saying, heads up, everybody, you get your down payment, but then you've got this extra $5,000 to $7,000 or whatever that you need to be prepared for. Yeah, that makes sense. And so then I think another area that people are concerned about is their credit. Mm. And so this was an area I'd never even heard about until I got into real estate, was credit repair. And the idea that let's say your income is decent, you have a down payment, but your credit does not look very good, or one or the other of the people maybe that are buying this together may not have good credit. So what would you recommend for people? I think what people tend to do is they sit on the sidelines and worry about it. But I think there's probably some action that they could take.
Yeah. Well, again, that's probably my biggest reason for reaching out to a loan officer early on, is to make sure that there's nothing going on with your credit, or to address anything up front. A lot of credit can be improved. A third of your credit score is what's called utilization of credit. It's basically your balance over your credit limit. So that is something that, again, you can control. You can pay down that credit card maybe a little bit faster. And we could do what's even called a rescore to get your score up. In the mortgage world, different loan programs, again, have different credit score requirements. FHA is going to be the most liberal for credit score requirements. So they typically go down to maybe a 580. VA, typically down to a 620. Along with conventional too. So again, credit scores sometimes drive interest rates, not always. And there's different brackets to that. So again, it depends on the loan program. Conventional is the most you have to be a little bit more cautious about credit score. So in a conventional loan, you definitely want to have a 740 to get the optimal interest rate. And what people don't understand, Joan, too, is when you do have, say, two borrowers, a husband and wife, that if someone does have a lower credit score, we have to go with that lower credit score. So if someone has a 780, another person has a 680, we have to go with that 680 if they're on the loan application. So again, just talking through this initially, we can a lot of times work through a plan to maybe get that score up so that we're not trying to figure it out last minute when we're trying to write a contract.
Right, right. Yeah, so knowing that there's some things that you can do. I was even talking to somebody who was saying, yeah, if you have family and friends helping you and you have that high balance, then maybe they can help pay some of that down. Yeah. Just in the same way they might help you with your down payment so that you're able to qualify. Yeah. So I think, Chad, the one thing I'm wondering too is, what are some of the things that you're seeing that buyers, what can you help buyers with? It's such a competitive, it's so competitive right now. I mean, 15 offers on a house is like, I don't know if that's average, but you know, when I'm kind of monitoring our chat in our realtor Facebook group, that's what a number that comes up quite often. So what are some ways that you as the lender, or you know, some tips that you have for people for making their offers more competitive?
You bet. So again, from a financing standpoint, I have conversations with my clients about the appraisal gap. What is an appraisal gap? And so it's basically, again, where you're writing an offer, you may be in a competitive situation, you may have to drive up the price of the property. Assuming we have to get an appraisal on the property, which is 9 out of 10 times, if that appraisal comes in short, then that gap needs to be covered in your own money. So essentially, say if the property is under contract for $400,000, but only appraises for 380. Our down payment is based off the 380, but you need to cover the difference between the 380 and 400. So again, it's something to talk through. It is a little challenging when you have a limited amount of money to work with. But there's other techniques. One of the best advantages of a first-time home buyer, honestly, is you typically don't have a house to sell. So you may have rent you have to come out of and you're trying to time it around your rent renewal, but you don't have a house to sell. You don't have a contingency. You could also be very flexible in the rent back. That is very common today in today's housing market. So you're actually closing one day and you're maybe renting the property back to the seller for up to 60 days. So that's very common as well. You know, again, Joan had talked on about it, I think, another podcast, but you know, inspections are not very deep. You know, you need to go through a home inspection, absolutely, but we're maybe not picking up all the nitpicky stuff that we used to maybe 5 or 10 years ago. We're just sticking with the health and safety piece of it. As a lender, we're asked to close very quickly today. So we're asked to close in 2 to 3 weeks, and guess what? We can do that. We will be working very quickly and daily together, but we will be able to close quickly to accommodate the seller. So again, to win the property, it's all about finding what the seller's needs are and addressing those line by line. And a lot of times, first-time home buyers, move-up buyers, again, we just need to work through, again, what the seller's needs are and address those the best we can.
And another thing I'm wondering about, Chad, is that there are a lot of people that don't fit into the what we would have thought of as the traditional home buyer segment, like they're not a married couple. That it's not a single person, that it's some combination of folks who want to go together and buy a home. I know that I think we're going to do a podcast on co-buying with Sarah Wells, who's another York Castle agent. So that will be interesting to see what some of the legal agreements, like how they've done that with Queen City Cooperative. But I was just wondering what you would recommend or what you've seen for unrelated people that want to buy a property together.
Yeah. So I've definitely seen it. I've had clients buy property again as non-married individuals or two college buddies who want to buy a property. So again, going into that, again, might require some more legal documentation that they may need to do on their own end. From a financing standpoint, we basically just have two applications instead of one joint application. So we're still blending credit. We're still basically bringing in assets, income, debt to income ratio. But again, the conversation probably needs to revolve around, again, what happens when one person wants to exit that agreement. And so again, those are things that aren't really tied to the mortgage piece of it. I guess another one would be, you know, who deducts your taxes or insurance? You know, home ownership deductions aren't what they used to be. With tax reform a couple of years ago, most people are actually taking the standard deduction. So we're not, most people aren't even itemizing anymore. It's very interesting, again, how that's changed. But again, still good conversations to have, again, to find out what applies to you and in your situation.
Okay, good to know. So I think that hopefully if you've been listening, you're starting to have more questions. And that's what we're doing on the podcast, is just introducing ideas, hopefully piquing your curiosity. And so, yeah, if you've been sitting on the sidelines and you're like, you know what, I really want to get out of renting, or I really want to buy, you know, an investment or whatever it is, that if you, the best way to do it is to research. And so reach out to myself, reach out to Chad, you know, get some conversations going so that you start understanding what the situation is for yourself. And if there's things that you need to be working on now, then you are able to make some progress. I'm excited too, because Chad and I are going to be doing a first-time home buyers course. And this is going to be on March 16th. We're going to do it monthly for a few months. And we're doing a little different than I think what your typical first-time home buyers course would be. Because we're really going to focus on mindset and visioning and goal setting and action taking. Because, you know, what really the thing is that if you have people that can help you and you want to get something, you want to make something happen in your life, you can make it happen. You might have more obstacles than somebody else, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to get there. So if you commit and you really get into what your values are, why you want it, then it's going to make it more clear. So that's what we're doing. You know, we'll definitely be talking about some of the details of what you want to be looking at. But it is going to be more of a workshop kind of environment where you're going to be doing this goal setting and setting action steps for yourself. And then if you want, you know, Chad or I to check back with you in a month, see how it's going, you want to be in our Facebook group and talk to other people, you can do all of that. Do you have anything to add on that, Chad?
No, I think, again, we just need to address hesitation. So again, people, I think everyone has the goal to, again, buy that first property, whether it be a condo or townhome, move into that, you know, move up property. And then, you know, it's just the American dream. I mean, and so I think it's talking through hesitation. Again, there's a lot, there's credit, there's down payment, there's income. It's a lot of things to talk about. And from a financing standpoint, no one should be an expert. That's what I do. And that's what I lose sleep over sometimes. But again, it's just so much fun to, again, just talk through this, because my day is different every day, and it's problem solving. And again, if I don't have the answer, and I sometimes don't, I'm going to go find it for you, and I will get you direction for it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's great. So that is on March 16th. You register on Eventbrite for that as well. Oh, and we're doing a $25 gift certificate from Summit Sustainable Goods, which we interviewed Carrie Martin Haley last week about her woman-owned small business that she started to do zero waste, natural, you know, non-toxic, handcrafted local products. So that's kind of a neat opportunity to be able to support support her as well. All right. So yeah, so my name is Joan Gregerson. I am an agent with York Castle Realty. And if you go to the Climate Action Homes website, you can start searching for homes. You can set up a custom search, or you can reach out to me there and I can set one up for you. You know, you want to get pinged when something changes, great. You want to get a weekly summary, great. We can do that so that you start getting, because I think Chad was saying, you know, it's all about education and being able to have somebody you can ask those questions about the market, what types of things are happening right now. You know, like if you get yourself set up for like what's been sold, you'll see here's the list price. Here's what it actually sold for in this neighborhood that I care about. You know, you start getting grounded in reality of what is out there and, you know, be able to be informed and make a move when you're ready. Absolutely. All right. Terrific. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Chad, for joining us. And for sharing and all the info that you have about all these different ways that you can finance your home. And so we're going to go ahead and end the recording. If anybody wants, remember that you just register on Eventbrite and you get a link to join us in our Zoom meeting where we'll carry on our discussion and our networking from there. So thanks, everyone. And I will see you, forgot to mention our upcoming podcast on March 7th. We'll be talking with Erin Joy Murphy about regenerative landscape design, March 14th, with Paul Kreischer, who is the producer of the PBS series Heart of a Building, looking at super energy efficient homes around Colorado and beyond. And April 11th, we'll be talking with Christine Brinker about electrifying your home as a way to go carbon neutral. And we've got a few others that are going to be filling in there as well. All right. So thanks, everybody. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, Chad.
Thank you, John. Take care.
All right. Thank you.